What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your friendly neighborhood, Mr. Reese, also known as Reese the Poet. And I want to welcome you to another episode of The Reset, where I believe in perspective, purpose, and people. Value equals vision, and breathing don't count as living. It's more than motivation. It's change. You know what I'm saying? So, ladies and gentlemen, there is a lot going on, and I have a lot to share with you, but not a whole lot of time to do it. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it. So one of the things I want to tell you is, yes, as always, if you have a story, maybe you have something that you want to share with the world. Maybe you have a product or something that you want to let the world know exists. Maybe you can make a change in someone's life. If you're looking for a host to start your own podcast, and I recommend Captivate. Captivate is the host that I am with. They have a little button on the bottom of the player. If you are interested, I encourage you to click that button. Go ahead, check it out. Good people, good service, and good times. You know what I'm saying? And of course, there is a donate button also attached. Please donate if you feel so inclined to support what we do here. Support some of the things coming down the pipe. I will keep you posted. You can follow me at Reese the Poet, at Reese the Poet on Instagram. And then you'll be able to be up and you'll be on the up and up for all of the things that we have working on. And you can support any one of those projects. So I want to go ahead and jump into this thing. With a short story, I want to share with you our quote for the day of sorts is I want to share with you the story of Sergeant Major Bradley A. Castle. I had the privilege of meeting him on my last command when I was in the Marine Corps, my last station. And I had the privilege of meeting him once. And there was a certain intensity about him. There was a certain weight that came with his handshake, the few words that he spoke. There was an authority. There was a piercing way that he looked at you. There was something about him that you could tell that this man was different. He wasn't like the rest. And obviously, when you do your research, you'll find out this story. 13 November 2004. He was then a first sergeant. First Sergeant Castle was assisting the 1st Section Combined Anti-Armor Platoon as they provided a traveling overwatch for 3rd Platoon when he heard a large volume of fire erupt to his immediate front, shortly followed by Marines rapidly exiting a structure. When 1st Sergeant Castle learned that Marines were pinned down inside the house by an unknown number of enemy personnel, he joined a squad, making entry to clear the structure and rescue the Marines inside. Now, mind you, this particular place that they went into was in Fallujah, Iraq, and this particular house that they hit was known as the Hell House. The Hell House. After he learned the Marines were pinned down inside the house by an unknown number of enemy personnel, he joined a squad making entry to clear the structure and rescue the Marines inside. He made entry into the first room, immediately encountering and eliminating an enemy insurgent as he spotted a wounded Marine in the next room. While moving towards the wounded Marine, 1st Sergeant Castle and another Marine came under heavy rifle fire from an elevated enemy firing position and were both severely wounded in the legs, immobilizing them. When insurgents threw grenades in an attempt to eliminate the wounded Marines, he rolled on top of his fellow Marine and absorbed the shrapnel with his own body. When 1st Sergeant Castle was offered medical attention and extraction, he refused until all the other Marines were given medical attention. Although severely wounded himself, he losing 60% of his blood, he shouted encouragement to his fellow Marines as they continued to clear the structure. By his bold leadership, wise judgment, and complete dedication to duty, 1st Sergeant Castle reflected great credit upon himself and upheld the highest traditions of the United States Marine Corps and the United States Naval Service. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we are at war. But there are no armies or insurgents at our doorsteps or mortars blasting holes through our houses. There are no missiles flying through neighborhoods, nor are there bunkers being obliterated by small arms or small and large arms fire. No, I believe that the war that we fight is that of a far greater magnitude than any nation has ever known. For this war we are facing, there is no artillery nor craft that can combat it. We are face to face with a war for our souls, We stand on the battlefield of liberty, faced with the media mortars and hate-seeking missiles. Small and large arms fire political projectiles and rounds of racism and rebellion. The enemy is seeking to burn the minds of the people with his napalm of inflammatory negativity, ignorance, and rage. And as many burn on the surface, I believe the poison gas of hopelessness, bitter hatred, unforgiveness, and division seeps into the eyes of those who witness and into the bunkers of their hearts. Once known as their place of refuge, unscathed and untainted by the horrors just above, and unknowingly it becomes their graves. But here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, there is a weapon. In the midst of all of this chaos and adversity, there is a weapon that stands superior to all attacks. There's one virtue that can forever protect that which we hold so dear. There is one action that can, regardless of the outcome, can never be broken, lost, or rendered ineffective, should we persist. There's one peace that can connect all sides in peace, yet this is the greatest and most difficult weapon to wield. It is undoubtedly a burden to carry. Very few ever truly understand it or hold it for more than a moment. See, this weapon pierces more than flesh, blood, mind, and soul. This weapon impacts the heart and spirit. What makes it so dangerous is that this weapon impacts not only the enemy, but allies as well. See, there's no limit to its ammunition or usages. It's the great equalizer. It spreads like wildfire without partiality or bias. When it is in its truest form and maximum output, it conquers all. This is not a nuclear bomb, but it could be considered a weapon of mass destruction. And he who wields it reigns supreme. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war, and the weapon that we hold to win this war is love. It's love. You know, I've sat back and I apologize. I didn't have an episode last week. You know, with all of the things going on recently, to be honest with you, I had so many ideas that I wanted to share. I had so many thoughts that I wanted to give you. I had so many different things I wanted to say. And I had to really decide somebody asked me, what is your role in all of this? And I have, you know, partners and comrades and, you know, friends on, as they say, both sides of the spectrum. I find myself in some ways torn between my feelings and my faith. You know, I find myself in a place where I look at all of my people, and I don't mean my people as in, you know, a certain ethnicity or any of those things. I see my people as my human beings, as we as a society, we as a nation, we as humans, as the very essence of humanity. I believe that right now we are being torn. I believe we are being attacked, the very soul of the nation, the very soul of our hearts, the very blood, the lifeblood of who we are that connects us as humans, I believe, is being attacked. I mean, the media is, you know, flooding all types of crazy thoughts, and people are sharing opinions. And I mean, it's interesting. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine, and I had a conversation with a buddy of mine who told me that during this whole conflict where we need to band together and we need solidarity, he said he's lost more friends. It's interesting, isn't it? It is interesting that we can lose friends in a time where we need each other. Huh. He asked me, what do I think about all of this? You know, obviously you have the situation with George Floyd, you have the riots across the nations, we have the seemingly the pandemic that has just decided to take a break. You know, everybody just decided it was over. We have all of these things going on. And obviously I have my views and opinions on all of this. I do believe that there's a greater work at work, if you know what I'm saying. You know, I personally believe that it's much deeper than politics. I think it's much deeper than racism. I believe it's much deeper than police brutality. Everybody has their own beliefs. Everybody has their own thoughts. But personally, I do see this as this is an all out assault on our soul and spirit. I believe it's far deeper than anything that we can see, if that makes sense. And, you know, everybody has their thoughts on that. But I was talking to a buddy of mine, as I said, and he asked me, what are my thoughts on all this? And if I had to really give you a summary of what I see as I look at social media and look at all this, I see a lot of, and I wrote it down. I see a lot of misinformation, misdirection, and misunderstanding. Hashtag fake news and people's opinions going back and forth and clinging like swords. I see emotions driving action instead of truth. Frustration is destroying focus, all while dealing with agenda pushing the media machine and some who simply hunger for chaos. I see in the end, we as a people, human beings on either side that we choose are broken, hurt, ignorant, and in desperate need of peace and love. And it's not simply on our streets, but in our hearts. If I could sum it up. And that's when he went on to tell me that he wonders, how can we make change if we can't even have conversation? You know, how he's had so many different disagreements and arguments about what's right, what's wrong, what happened, what isn't happening, what everyone thinks should happen. You know, everybody, like they say, their opinions are like, well, there's another analogy, but we're going to say opinions are like feet. You know what I'm saying? We'll say opinions are like feet. Everybody got them. And a lot of them smell bad, or they all smell bad. But you all know the real analogy, but, you know, I kind of want to try to keep it family friendly, you know. But I told him, I said, forward thinking has to happen. And this is the part that hard. It's difficult because forward thinking is often misunderstood. Forward thinking is not simply, oh, we're just forgetting everything that has happened and moving forward. Forward thinking means I'm acknowledging everything that has happened, but I choose not to identify myself with it. I choose not to make what happened and what was. I choose not to let that determine what will be. How can we take what we've learned or what we've gained, harness it, and attack the future with it? That's what forward thinking is. I think it's often misunderstood. And it's interesting because, believe it or not, you know, I think there's as much, I told him, as much division as it seems to be happening, I think there's a great level of solidarity that's happening as well. Now, what I will say is what we need, and this is where my call to action to you is, people of the world, whoever's listening in, this is my call to action to you. I mean, for the sake of humanity, I beg of you, I say, what we need, and this is where I stand, is we need people to stand in the gap. We need people to be the bridge, reminding each side. We need to rise up as a people and remind each side what it means to really be the land of the free and the home of the brave, one nation under God, indivisible. Now, everybody has their thoughts about the background and the history of all of these things in the nation, the blood, and I get it. But the reality is that for many people who physically had nothing to do with the history of what this country may have had, and, you know, everybody has their thoughts and opinions and all of that. But for many people, this nation is the land of the free and the home of the brave. This nation is a place where people believe in unity. This nation is a place and land of opportunity. This nation is built on everybody together. One nation under God, indivisible. United we stand and divided we fall. With liberty and justice for all, you know, I added the other part in there. But, I mean, we used to say that in school, right? You know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now, although all may not always follow that, that's the reality. Because the truth is that what we're dealing with is not so much a system issue. It's not so much what people understand is not so much a system issue. It is a heart issue. I attack the heart of humanity. I don't see people as evil. I see them as broken. and even people who would be considered evil. I believe that they are broken, and thus that empty void has allowed them to be susceptible to receive evil in their hearts. I believe that emptiness, that hole, has opened this gaping hole that has released all of the dark and corruption that's in the hearts of men. I believe it's much deeper than, we want to get into the depths of the human experience, the feelings, the emotions, the thoughts, the dreams, the hopes. Well, just with that, there's also a corruption in the hearts of men, where men believe in where pride takes in, where darkness will fill the void where there is no light. I believe that we have an opportunity. I believe that I told somebody the other day, man, I'm actually excited. They'll say, Reese, how are you excited with all this going on? I'm excited because I believe that we have an opportunity as a people and as a nation to rise up and say, we are taking back our future. We are deciding what we do next. We are going to stand up and band together and unify in humanity and humility. That we are going to be humbled by our mistakes of the past, but we are going to be encouraged by where we can go in the future. I believe that what we need is people who are going to truly stand in the gap, who are going to be the Sergeant Major Castles of the world, and are going to go out and willing to stand up and stand for truth and stand for love. Even when everyone else has gone to the wayside, even when all the crossfire and everything, there are people who are caught in the crossfire who don't know which way to turn, don't know which way to go. All they want to do is move forward. All they want to do is get to safety. All they want to do is get free from all of the bondage and everything that is falling upon everyone. The pressures, the stereotypes. They want to break free of all this. They want to help this person, but they don't want to turn against this person. They want us all to walk together in harmony. And the truth is, unfortunately, it'll never be perfect, but we can do everything that we can in our absolute power and ability to rise up together and be the best we can be. Be the best we can be. Rise up for humanity, for people. You think about it. There was a time when we were able to have a discussion. We could have a disagreement, but I do not attach your actions to your person. See, that's unconditional love. See, humanity, our society and human beings, unfortunately, we have lost the concept of what it means to truly have unconditional love. If we actually took that weapon of love that I spoke about earlier, if we took that weapon, it is so powerful. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love conquers all. We have lost the concept of what that really means and what that truly is. I mean, think about it. Do we really know unconditional love? Unconditional love says, I can look at you and I choose to love you. Even when I don't feel like it, even when I don't want to, even when it's inconvenient, even when you hurt me, I still choose to love you because that is who I am. Because I refuse to allow your actions to corrupt my heart. Now that's a whole nother level of love. That's a whole nother level of understanding. That's a whole nother level of truth. That's a whole nother level of living. Can we live like that? Could I look into the eyes of someone who I know has hurt me and choose to forgive them? Choose to love them. And I'm not saying y'all are going to be buddies. I'm not saying y'all going to be skipping through the forest, skipping through the rainbows and lilies and stuff. But I refuse to allow what you did to taint my heart. I refuse to allow myself to be brought down to your level. And I still can look at you and see you as a human being in a life. What if we live like that? Imagine if we apply this concept. This podcast, I talk about life and the human experience. And obviously we talk about faith and belief and love and all of those things. And regardless of how we feel about, different things, of course, about the Bible and about word and things like that. Like I said, I always say there's always principle. There are principles that are in this, that are in it, that truly stand out. And I think can be an example and are an example for everybody. One of the things you find out is that people actually don't have an issue with necessarily God or whatever the case is. Oftentimes there's an issue with the Bible itself, and you know, everybody's like, well, I don't know how true it is, this, that, and other, but people don't really have an issue with God. But anyway, what I would say is this, is I would say it reminds me of the story of Jesus. If you think about it, Jesus, whether you believe he was God or just a man, think about his life. Here we have a man who gave everything that he had. He poured everything he could into the growth and development and the life of people that he absolutely loved. Gave them nothing but truth, opportunity, and care. Taught them, challenged those who challenged them and hurt them, and stood for them. Only for those same people to have their hearts corrupted, turn around and betray him, beat him, kill him, an innocent man, and put him on a cross. Arguably one of the worst deaths in history. And he was crucified, and put on display. Stripped, spit on, treated like an absolute animal, beaten and whipped to the point where he wasn't even recognizable as a man. And yet through those blood-soaked shot eyes, he says, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Imagine if we applied that level of unconditional love and that level of compassion. That even in the most heinous act of betrayal, I still will not let it taint my heart, and I still choose to see you for the person and the creation and the life that you are. Do you realize that that is the reason why it conquers all? That's why love conquers all. We see it in movies all the time. Well, you know, I like movies. We see it in movies all the time. What is the one thing that turns the villain into a hero? You know, he falls in love with somebody, or he comes in contact with somebody who shows him compassion, even though he's evil. But like they say, we never really had that conversation. I mean, I believe at this moment, each individual, we have an opportunity to rise up and choose who we will be. If your role in this thing is just to listen, then listen. If your role is to speak, then speak. But I believe everybody's role is to love. If you don't know what to do, I say it very simply is this. If you're just caught in the crossfire, you're caught in the middle, you just want to do the right thing. That's all you want to do. You just want to do the right thing. You just want to be, you're caught in the middle. Then I challenge you to love. I say breathe, love, and repeat. Love those around you unconditionally. Speak truth, stand on the truth. You know, stand in the gap. Be the bridge and choose love. Period. That's the reality. Once we get to that place, once we as human beings can look at each other as human beings, regardless, unconditional love says, I can look at your actions and not like your actions. I can acknowledge that your actions are wrong, but I still refuse to attach them to your person. What a life. What a life. I mean, I think that, and I wrote this down, I said, you know, unfortunately, we can be overcome. See, all right, so there's so many things that I want to say with this, but I'll leave you with these last couple things I would say is this. I say, to be emotional, and I have to get this in here because I believe that that's the one thing that is, if I could say, might be the Achilles heels, I believe that unharnessed emotion. There's nothing wrong with being emotional. In fact, I wrote this down. I said, it is absolutely understandable to be emotional. It is absolutely understandable to be overwhelmed. But we cannot allow ourselves to be overcome. Because if we are overcome, then we are poised to be overtaken. Remember what I told you with barbed wire, right? Remember what I told you with barbed wire? Your emotions will cloud your judgment and frustration will make you lose focus. What we are seeing is barbed wire played out in real time. We are just tired of getting cut. We're stuck. We're wrapped up and we're hurting and we're bleeding. And we're just, I mean, there's everybody on all sides. We are just so fed up and full of tension and there's conflict and you don't understand and you don't understand. And we're just going back and forth. But the truth is that the answer is if we were to just breathe. Acknowledge the actions that are improper. Acknowledge what is wrong as human beings and unilaterally come together and say, this is wrong, let's change it. I refuse to take my past and project it on you. I refuse to take my past and project it on you. We are going to start anew. Now, mind you, that may be a fantasy, but I believe in miracles. And so therefore, it starts with one. It takes one rock to drop in a river to create a ripple that spreads out through the whole entire body. I believe we can do this. I believe it is our opportunity to rise up. I believe that what we have to understand is this. I say, and I wrote this down, is hatred, racism, bigotry, bias, and all forms of evil are all signs of a corrupted and tainted heart. But just as much are rage, revenge, bitterness, unforgiveness, and anything other than love. Examine your heart. That's where change begins. I mean, think about it. We say we want change, but are we willing to? I'll say that again. We say we want change, but are we absolutely willing to? Are we willing to move forward? Love is the supreme weapon that we have to attack and fight this battle. But the truth is, are we willing to wield it? Because the truth is, you may pick it up and a lot of people are going to look at you like, ooh, you're choosing love. You absolutely going to love them? Absolutely, I'm going to love them. Because they're broken just like me. What a life, right? What a thought process. What a way to move forward. I mean, we talk so much about the problems, but do we talk about tomorrow? Do we talk about the solutions? And some do. And for those who do, I commend you. But I believe that we need to think more that way. I believe that we need to become, guys. We need to become. Rise up and show what we're made of. Sergeant Major Castle had to make a decision when he saw that fire, when he saw his men were pinned down. There are people pinned down right now, pinned down in emotion, pinned down in hate, pinned down in revenge, pinned down in improper teaching, pinned down in racism, pinned down in all these things. You have to make a decision. Who are you going to be? As they say in the Bible, it talks about choose ye this day whom you will serve. I say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose ye this day who you will be at this moment. I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen. The only way to fight this battle is from within. This is not a battle that's going to be fought by. This is not a battle that'll be won by legislation. This is not a battle that'll be won by any of those things. This is a battle for the heart. And that can only be won by the weapons of the heart. So anyway, I mean, I could go in. You know what? I may even have a part two of this next week. I may, or this weekend. I have to really get. There's so many things that I want to share, but I would leave you with this. I would leave you with a little bit of a creed of sorts that I wrote for myself, and I want to share with you. And it's based off of my faith. And I'll tell you this: it is very much based off of my faith. But I believe that the principle in itself anybody can receive. And so I say, I choose to love you. Regardless of who you are and what you've done, I choose to love you because of who he is and what he did. This does not mean I ignore your actions. It means that I choose not to attach them with your purpose, with your person. It means I choose not to allow your decisions to corrupt my heart. It means I choose to see your behavior as a symptom of the self-destructive disease. It is the outcome of the great deficiency in your mind and void in your soul. I choose to see you not from the primitive place of response and natural reaction. I choose to see you through the blood-soaked eyes of unconditional love that looked at us both and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. For humanity's sake. And that is the path that I choose and the cross I choose to carry. There is no other option. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our moment. Sergeant Major Castle, he had a moment of decision. I believe we are at a crossroads. We have an opportunity to take our future back. We have an opportunity to move on the road ahead. We can do this, but it's going to require the greatest weight and the greatest weapon. But the most powerful thing that we can do is we have to choose to love. Glory awaits. It's time to rise up, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see y'all next time. Peace.